Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 14 in our teaching on the life of Daniel titled Ancient of Days. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
Every day is a good day. We welcome every one of you here today. It seems to me that I've noticed in the last, I don't know, maybe four to six weeks, maybe closer to four, the reason I use the term volcano is talk with Ed and he'd mention it, but it feels like to me something's building again. I can tell the pressure's starting to build again. I can. Just as sure as the world. I can feel that
that's a good thing.
It's pressure either way. It's a good thing to some, not to others. But I can tell that I believe that things are building again. I think this will continue to happen until we have what we call the big one. We'll keep having tremors. We'll keep having little spurts of outpouring, moving upward. Then it'll subside, and then it'll come again. And I believe we're at the beginning of another building here. I can sense it last 3 or 4 weeks. And I'm kind of a split spiritual personality, I think. One part of me says, amen, praise God, come on. The other part of me is like, oh my gosh, what's this going to mean? You know. But anyway, it's a good thing it doesn't have anything to do with me. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for today and for the power of your Spirit and for the opportunity to be here in your presence with your people. Lord God, it's an awesome opportunity to stand and speak for represent you and your word. I do not take it lightly. I take it as an honor and a privilege, and I appreciate you trusting me with the next few minutes here with your word. So, Lord, it's with that trust I pray that you'll anoint the words, anoint your word, that it'll go forth and have true revelation and meaning, that it will truly change us this day, that we might be more mature when we leave here today than when we came. We might be more like Jesus and less like ourselves. We might totally understand why you're doing what you're doing, and we're part of it. And we'll thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel 7, again. I'll be on Daniel 7 maybe one more week, and then we'll move on through. But Daniel 7 is what we call the pivotal chapter of the book of Daniel. To me, the book of Daniel is the pivotal book even of the Bible. But we see here in Daniel 7 at this pivotal point, there's a lot of information, a lot of things hinge on the rest of the book in Daniel chapter 7. If you remember Daniel 7, here we see that Daniel has, you know, this vision. Now, verses 1 through 14, so you will get the understanding of this chapter, which is very important. The book of Daniel is not hard to understand. Say that with me, please. The book of Daniel is not hard to understand. Say, because the Holy Spirit is within me. Because the Holy Spirit is within me. I will continue to use terminology and different things in this book. But again, it's not that complicated. It appears to be, but the more you're in it, the more you keep reading it, all of a sudden something that looks somewhat complicated starts to kind of unravel a little bit, and you'll think, well, that's not as big a booger as I thought. It just means a lot. So we see in verses 1 through 14, we have what's called the experience of the vision. That's chapter 7, verses 1 through 14, the next part of Daniel. And we like to condense it in these three areas. It's the explanation of the vision. So that's very helpful. We don't necessarily have to interpret it. The interpretation's there. And then in verse 28, we have what the effects of this vision are, which are really incredible. If you remember in Daniel chapter 2 about the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, everybody, hopefully, you kind of got this statue in you now. The statue of Daniel 2 is representation of countries, and it's the same meanings in Daniel chapter 7. Of these four beasts, except it starts giving us in Daniel 7 more detail. Daniel chapter 2 with the statue, if you'll notice, it's more about man. Do you see that? It's a statue of what? It's a statue of a man. So we know in Daniel 2 the interpretation, the first part, the first six chapters of Daniel, is how it's more about man. How does these revelations relate to you as a person? And we went over that in the first six chapters. Chapter 7 through 12 then starts to deal with it from God's point of view on an earthly worldwide view. So we can see that the revelation of the book of Daniel is dimensional. It goes personal, then it gets bigger than that. Thank you, Lord. I think we got a little music going on there. Does anybody hear that? Oh, that's your phone. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's your phone. I thought it was that. It sounds like it's coming from right there. Isn't it? Kathy, your secret was safe with us. We will tell no one that that's your phone. We're not going to tell that it's Kathy's because her secret's safe with us. And this is going into 13 countries this morning. Now, we see that there's also five stages. There's five stages of the Roman Empire. Just be thankful it wasn't at your Christmas thing. There's five stages of the Roman Empire. We see in the book of Daniel. First two are already fulfilled. It's the United States. We went over that. There's two divisions, east and west. We went over that. Now, the future ones are the ten king stages. This is where we get into the ten toes, right? And then something comes out of the ten toes. The Antichrist will rule over these ten kings, and the Antichrist or the world government stage. Now, you've really and truly got to be really in some other planet not to see that everything we're doing is going global, right? Everything that we do is all about globalism. And if you go to any airport, anywhere you go, we're being indoctrinated with globalism and how this is a great, wonderful thing. I think it's great and wonderful, too, because it's a sign of where we are. And, you know, it's okay with me because I'm on the right team now. As we pick up here this week, it starts with a vision of the Ancient of Days in the book of Daniel here. Now, this is Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9. I went 1 through 8 last week. We'll pick up at verse 9 today. And it's the appearance of the Ancient of Days. And I want you to notice this. A lot of times the Ancient of Days is spoken of as Jesus. Actually, it's God. The Ancient of Days is a reference to God Almighty. And I'll show you a few of these things in the Scriptures. Now, it says this in verse 9, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the what? The Ancient of Days was seated. Now, remember, names mean things, especially in the Scriptures. When God is using a name or has a name change, it's because He's really trying to say something here. His garment was white as snow. The hair of His head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame. Its wheels a burning fire. What a description of this throne. Now, it says His vestures were white as snow, which means, of course, purity. Hair like pure wool is a symbol of wisdom and age. This is a whole symbolic book. Remember that, book of Daniel. Now, His throne is about majesty and what? Authority. And this is a huge thing in the book of Daniel. And it says, was ablaze with flames. Its wheels were a burning fire and coming out from before Him. This is the burning fire. You know, we always say, God, send the fire, God, send the fire. I'm not really sure if we know what we're singing when we say. I mean, anywhere I've ever been, fire burns something. So when we're singing, God, send the fire, some reason we got this thing, oh, it's going to be nice and sweet, and the Holy Spirit's going to come, we're going to live happily ever after. No, it means it's going to burn away that's in your life, and it brings conviction. And the only thing that puts out the fire is repentance. So, we see that these wheels and everything have fire, which is of judgment. Now, it's very important to make the comparison that you see the judgments of God. It is so incredible, the definition of the grace of God. We are actually living in what's called the day of grace. This was a mystery. It was a secret in Ephesians chapter 3. We have been birthed in an incredible time. Now, the problem with being birthed in an incredible time is just like being born with a lot of money. You tend not to appreciate it, and you throw it away, right? If you don't earn it, you tend to throw it away. But God gave us His Holy Spirit so that we would have the spiritual ability, not the fleshly ability, the spiritual ability to walk in the grace of God. And there's a reason for the grace of God. We'll get into that a little bit. So this is about judgment here. Psalms 97:3, fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries round about. Now there's a comparison here. It's talking about the throne of God. I want to get into just right briefly in Daniel 7 with Ezekiel 1. Does anybody remember that one? And in Daniel 7, 9, it says, his throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. Now, this is talking about the throne of God. If you want to know what it looks like, well, let's go for it. That is a picture, or somebody's put together, of taking the scripture of the throne of God. It's got wheels under it. God sits on the throne. Now, remember, he's called here the Ancient of Days, and there's a reason for that. And in the Ancients of Days, it says he sat on a chariot throne. He sat on a throne. It's got wheels on it. It's like it's a chariot throne. And it also says, if I can read it, when God has to go somewhere, he never leaves his throne, for it just goes with him. Anybody get it? That makes sense. You see, God doesn't ever leave his throne. As God's, trust me here, and see if you can feel the witness of the Spirit. When we feel the presence of God in this place, you've got to understand his throne's with him. It's got wheels on it. It moves. Everywhere God, okay, can you get it? You're getting a revelation of it. Everywhere God is, his throne's with him. That's the reason it's shown here. In this movable vehicle of wheels and fire and all of this stuff, it never leaves him. His throne just goes with him. When God is moving, his throne is always with him. And with him is that authority. Now remember, this is the Ancient of Days. A vision, speaking of the throne of God, fire, wheels. And in these wheels are eyes. You all see, that is a study in it within itself, is the throne of God. In Ezekiel 1, let's do a comparison here of Ezekiel 1, verses 15 through 16 with Daniel. Now, as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth beside each living creature with its four faces. And the appearance of the wheels and their workings was like that of color of beryl, and all the four had the same likeness. The appearance of their workings was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Isn't that amazing? He's trying to describe the throne of God. So amazing, Ezekiel. Now there again, we're using Ezekiel to help us with Daniel. He speaks about this throne. When they moved, they went toward any one of the four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. As for their rims, they were so high, they were awesome. And their rims were full of eyes all around the four of them. When the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Anybody getting a vision of the throne here? It's going in verses 20 and 21. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went, because where the Spirit went, and the wheels were lifted together with them. See there? It all goes together. For the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. When those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them. For the Spirit of the living creatures was where? In the wheels. Now, I'll not get into a teaching of the throne of God, but where is the Spirit of God today? It's in you. You're a wheel. God's supposed to move with you. When we come together, wheels are coming together, full of eyes, through the Spirit of God. We've got to really grab hold of the reality and the truth of what we're in. Trust me, when you said yes to Jesus, you signed up for a whole lot more than you had any idea. And trust me, it gets better and better from here on. The revelations will come more and more. You'll start seeing more and more. The revelations get bigger and better. You are going, the least you've ever been blown away in your life is your past. The most you'll ever be blown away with God is in your future. Amen. That's just the little throne of God. Kind of threw that one in there. to help you understand with Daniel. He talks about this throne with these wheels and this fire. Now here we have the appearance of the Ancients of Days, it says in Daniel 7:10. That was 7:9. Here's 7:10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. So here we got this throne, wheels and fires and all this stuff going on. Daniel has this vision. I'd say it's a pretty cool vision, wouldn't you? He has this vision. I want to show you a little something here. Daniel 7:10 says, the court was seated and the books were opened. So here we see there starts this information about a set of books. Daniel has this vision. It's about a set of books. And now, of course, Daniel 7 is about the Antichrist and about all this stuff and the ten toes. But all of a sudden, this other stuff's in there about these books. And it says they not only were there books, but it says they were open. Daniel 12:1, I want to skip ahead a little bit. It says this, everyone who is found written in the book will be what? Is anybody in here won't be rescued? Now, look, it has a lot to do with where your name's been written in a book. Now, your name's in a book somewhere. I'm going to show you that. Your name is in a book. It's according to which book you're in. Now, we see in verse 11 and 12, I'll move on here right quickly and come back to it. But in verses 11 and 12, we have the Ancient of Day comes. We have the destruction of the beast. And here it is. Then I kept looking because of the sound of the boastful words which the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body was destroyed and given to the burning fire. As for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, but the extension of life was granted to them for an appointed period of time. So here we have tribulation coming is what it is. We got destruction coming. You have this horn was speaking, this one little horn among the horns. Does anybody know who that is? It's the Antichrist. You got the ten horns. One horn raises up, kind of destroys three of them. But you got this itty-bitty horn with a big mouth. And there, and we're going to put our eyes on this horn as we move forward here today. Because that is the Antichrist. Now watch it. Now, I'm going to give you a comparison here with that one, Revelation 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat upon the horse and against his army. Now the one who's upon the horse and against on the army is Jesus Christ himself. We'll get into that into Daniel. For Jesus comes in on the scene. This is called the Son of Man. But here the companion verse in Revelation is it says this, here on this big horse against his army. And the beast was seized and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in the presence by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire which burns with brimstone. Somebody say glory, hallelujah. Now, when we get into verses 13 and 14 of Daniel chapter 7. All of a sudden, we got an arrival of the Son of Man. With Ancients of Days, he's there on his throne, fires and wheels and all this stuff, and all this crowd of people and his host out in front of him. All of a sudden, it comes down, these angels are there, and they have this book, and they open it up, and all of a sudden, here comes arrival in this vision of Daniel, of the arrival of the Son of Man, verses 13 and 14. It's kind of cool. It says it like this, I kept looking in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a Son of Man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the people, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. That's a good place to say amen. Now, that's verses. Now, the Son of Man, this title occurs 81 times in the Gospel. It is used by Jesus every time, except in John 12:34. Why did Jesus use this title for himself more than any other? And it reveals and it conceals at the same time. In other words, the Son of Man doesn't sound that big. But if you got the Holy Spirit inside of you, you hear the Son of Man, it's big. So it's hidden to those that do not have the Spirit, to those that have the Spirit. So Jesus is using it because it's revelation to the believer. It can mean nothing more than man in Psalm 8:4 and in Ezekiel. Or it can mean the Son of Man in Daniel 7:13 who comes to rule over the earth. So that is kind of a revelatory thing for believers. Now, It also shows that he has all authority. Watch this one. But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has what? Authority where? On earth to do what? To forgive sins. Now, why is healing and everything in that one? You see, what brought sickness to our body and everything? It was sin. So when they use the terminology on earth to forgive sin, that is, it's covering a huge thing about the kingdom. It's covering the kingdom. But you can see that you, when you know the Son of Man, he has been given authority on the earth to forgive sins. So Jesus Christ, why do we say in the name of Jesus? It's because we know that in that name is tremendous authority. Well, if you go back to Daniel, in this vision of Daniel, all of a sudden you say, oh, here's the Ancient of Days sitting on his throne. Daniel's having this huge vision. Now, whoo, here comes in the Son of Man. Kind of huge, isn't it? Listen, when you have a situation of a huge revival spirit, an outpouring, and this thing hits a gear that you cannot manufacture, you cannot make it happen. The only thing that hurts it is when we bring attention to us. You can't do it. I don't care if you lay hands on somebody and they get healed. Don't use your name, please. The reason I say at the end of a teaching, please don't come to me and say I did a great job. The main reason I do that is so you don't tell me I did a bad job either. A little hidden meaning there. But let's just leave all of that alone. Here's why. This is about the Ancient of Days and the Son of Man. The only thing that hurts and hinders a revival spirit is the spirit of man. We all know we're great and not great. We all know that. But we don't want to hinder. Now, here's what happens. When you're in a service in the Ancient of Days, usually you'll have a movement of the Holy Spirit, which we experience quite often. Every now and then we'll have the Son of Man appear and you'll have some healing and things like that. You can feel it move. But listen, trust me. When the Ancient of Days shows up with his throne, that's the Shekinah glory. You see, we hadn't hit that one. Not even close. Just a little bit of the Son of Man. We're whole movement of the Spirit and all that. Here's what happens. Usually you can't get out of the movement of the Holy Spirit because the Spirit of Man always rises up. It just always happens. You know, somebody's got to take credit for it. It just bless our little hearts. somebody bless our little hearts. We can't seem to get beyond that because somebody has to have a little pride. You don't have to say it, you just feel it. You know? Your chest just goes out, you know. And it just totally is just not cool. So we're looking for the presence of the Son of Man as it's in the house. But when the Ancient of Days shows up, trust me, there's no prophecy. There's no, everything vanishes because he's in the only thing you want to do is hit the floor. Has anybody ever been with that one? It's all you want to do is hit the floor. But anyway, I don't know how I got on that one. So let me move on. Now, another place that he has this authority is he says he's exalted, but Jesus kept silent, and the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are in Christ. It says there, this is in Matthew. But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you hereafter, you shall see the Son of Man, see it there, sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. See, Jesus is talking about Daniel. Or Jesus and Daniel is just seeing the same event. You see, so Jesus calls himself that Son of Man. That Daniel says the Son of Man is going to come in clouds in heaven. Then the high priest tore his robe, saying, he has blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you have now heard the blasphemy. So here we see that Jesus uses himself. Now, Daniel's visions are interpreted in Daniel chapter 7, verses 15 through 18. Daniel has a vision, then comes the interpretations. It says this in verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to the one of those who stood by and asked him of the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts which are four kings which will arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom. So I say, amen. And possess the kingdom, how long? Forever, even forever and what? Ever. Now, are we fully in possession of the kingdom yet? No. It's A lot of people say, well, dominion theology says it's done here. We just got to claim dominion. And I'm for all the dominion stuff, but it ain't all happened yet. So, anyway, we'll not get into that one. Then verse 19, it says, then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others. Now, this is, we want to focus on this one a little bit. Exceedingly dreadful with its teeth of iron and its nail of bronze, which devoured, broke in pieces and trampled the residue with its feet. And the ten horns, what are ten horns? Ten nations. Ten horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, which before which three fell, namely that horn which has eyes and a mouth. So we got ten horns. One little horn comes up in the middle of it. He kind of smashes three of them, but he has eyes and a mouth. Funny looking horn, don't you think? So this horn comes out, has eyes and a mouth, looks probably like a veggie tail, I guess. But he comes up and he has this deal going on his head. And the horn had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. Now, let's look at this right quickly. In verse 21, I was watching and the same horn was making war against the saints. Can somebody say war against the saints? Has anybody read a book called War Against the Saints? War against the saints and the prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came. Somebody say glory. The Ancient of Day. You see, all of this is going on. The Ancient of Day comes in on this throne. Remember, the throne's with him. He's riding around on it. Until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Now, make no mistake about it. God is preparing us now in the day of grace to be with Him and go in and possess the land. See it? And to possess the kingdom and rule and reign with Him forever and ever. This whole lifetime is a preparation time. It's not about us winning the lottery. This is preparation, is what this is about. Let me get on with this one. Now, Daniel's visions interpreted in Daniel 7, 23 and 24. He said, thus he said, this is in the vision now, verse 23. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from the other kingdoms. It shall devour the whole earth, trample it, break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom. Another shall rise after them, and he shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and... Times and... He's trying to change the history and everything, and... Can anybody feel that one? Then the saints shall be given into his hands for a time and a time and a time and a half. Nobody likes that one. That's about 3.5 years. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it forever. So does that mean that as saints we could have some hard times? The answer is yes. Now, then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints, the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. And this is where he ends up. Daniel says, this is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly trouble me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. That's where he ended up this vision. Now, there's the main characters are in this dream and vision. The first one is Daniel, of course. Daniel is not just, now look at this. Daniel is not just having the dream, but he is in the dream. This is kind of funny to me. He goes over and asks, probably an angel, what's going on. Now watch this one. In the beginning, Daniel was the guy, he was the big guy on the block that gave interpretation of dreams and visions. Right? You got to understand, this is Daniel's first dream and vision. This is Daniel's first one. Daniel, you see, Daniel was the interpreter up till now. And then I guess God said, okay, big boy, I'm going to give you one, see what you can do with it. God gives Daniel one. Daniel's in the dream. He said, oh, I've got to have some help here. So in the dream, he goes over and says, I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Isn't that something? So it's hard for you to get the dream or vision and also the interpretation. Most of the time you don't interpret your own dream interpretations or visions, right? Well, that's not normally the way things of the Spirit are done. You either got the gift of interpretation or you're going to have the dream and the vision. If you have the dream and the vision, you'll interpret out of the soul usually. Well, you know, I think it means it. That's not right here. Daniel, he had his first one. You kind of thought he was not a novice, but he was a professional dreamer. Well, here's his first one. Kind of blew him away. He was in the dream. There's a difference in watching a dream or being in the dream. Right? Usually in a prophetic dream, a lot of times you're the one that's in the dream. Right? Now, watch this one. Daniel's first vision of his own. Daniel has been an interpreter of visions and dreams, but in this one he has to ask. And I came near to one of those that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Now, main characters of the dream again. I'm going to kind of hone in on the scriptures through Daniel. Then we're going to the little horn that's in the neck. This is a little horn, 10. One comes up. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous word. There were eyes like the what? They were eyes like the eyes of a man. Were eyes like the eyes of a man. Not eyes like a man, but the eyes of a. Not eyes like a man, but eyes of a man. So what does that tell us? This horn is a man. He has a mouth speaking pompous words. Pompous words or boastfully means a mouth making great statements. So we know that it's a man, eyes of a man, but he also knows he's going to be a great orator. He's going to be able to speak and people are going to listen. He's going to carry authority in what he says. That's the reason, as a church, we've got to mature past an individual. You don't build a true movement of God around a great preacher, a great teacher. If you're building around that, you're not having a great move of God. You're also being set up to be fooled by the Antichrist. We follow the Spirit of God. If one person's here or not here, it shouldn't make a bit of difference. When we mature to that point, we know we're getting somewhere. That's the reason I like to always de-emphasize an individual. It's best just to mix it up some. De-emphasize. I love the way our worship is. It's not one person. We have visitors coming here and saying, now who's leading this? Our response, the Holy Spirit, we hope. Right? It's all hidden. That's the model of this church. We want to focus on Jesus Christ, Him crucified, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Ancient of Days. Amen? It's not we don't appreciate people. We just have a goal in mind here on why we're coming together. Now, it goes on in Revelation 13, and it says this. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, which be the Antichrist, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Now remember, the enemy has a counterfeit for everything God. There's right here in this, there'll be a counterfeit for the Holy Spirit, a counterfeit for Jesus Christ, and a counterfeit for the Ancient of Days. You see, the beast is a counterfeit of Jesus Christ, and they worship Him, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with Him? So you got this beast going to take over and strut here and say he's boastful, he's a great talker, he can do it, he's an individual. There again, I can't emphasize it enough. The Church of Jesus Christ does not build our relationship with God around individuals on this earth. Anybody, are y'all catching the spirit of what I'm trying to say here? With humility, we love each other. We focus on no one but Him. Let it be said of this church, we focus. Who leads that church? The Lord Jesus Himself. The Holy Spirit. Right? Now, but that's very important in the movement of the revival Spirit of God. So he says they worshiped him, the counterfeit of Jesus is the beast who was able to make war with him. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. You see it there? You also just read it in Daniel. Now it's in Revelation. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Anybody know how long that is? 3.5 years. 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme His name, His tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. So I know by that, I was reading, I'm like, you know, who in the world thinks when you go to heaven that you're in a soul sleeper, you're dead, nobody's, they're just laying there like a bunch of corpses or something. Those people are, it means it's happening now. Who dwell? That's an active something. What do you call it in some English majors? I looked it up, but I can't remember what you call it. It means it's actively going on right now. Those who dwell in heaven. You see that? So Satan's still talking about those that went on. But it also tells me that those that went on are there and active and they're participating. They're not in some soul sleep or something. It's a going on. And evidently, the ones that are in heaven right now have something to do with causing the havoc on this earth. Why would he blaspheme them along with God in his tabernacle? Listen, you've signed up for more than you know. This thing's big. It's huge. She's out the top. Our little brains aren't even getting what God's doing. This thing, we walk into heaven, it's going to take us 1,000 years just to get over the awe of what in the world. You're kidding me. Now, Revelation 13, 7, 8 says, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life. Who's going to worship him? Those whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. And I got to move on. Now, the main characters in the dream, again, are Daniel, the little horn. Now, I want to move quickly into the Ancient of Days. Can I please finish the Ancient of Days before I stop here? The Ancient of Days. Now, watch it. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. Until the Ancient of Days came, a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Judgment was made. So when you see the Ancient of Days, judgment's coming. Now watch this one. Daniel's name means God is my judge. Remember we did that in the first part of Daniel? What? Remember all the other guys, all the other shacks in there? Remember, a part of their name had everything to do with the judgment of God? Well, we see Daniel's name means God is my judge. Now, what's the book of Daniel about? It's about this judgment of these beasts and of this statue. Daniel's first vision shows that God is judge. Daniel 7. God's name, the Ancients of Days, is significant also. Now, watch this. Ancient of Days is the chief judge of all the ages. That's what that word means. Ancient of Days is the chief judge of all ages. There are many judgments in the Bible. The judgment of Daniel 7 is over the little horn and his empire. This is not the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne. Has anybody heard of that one? You got the judgment seat of Christ. This is not that. Then you got the great white throne judgment. Now, the Ancient of Days, there he is on his throne. Remember, we read in Daniel, these books were open. Right? Here we have, the books were open. Anytime the Bible is speaking with the word days, it means something to do with time and this earth. Ancient of Days, when God uses that name, he is saying who he is as God in the relation of time to the earth. Are you with me? Isn't that cool? So anytime you see Ancient of Days, he's saying, okay, this is me, God. I'm on the throne. I'm floating around here on this wheel thing. It's burning with fire. And I'm a floating around here. But I'm now dealing, when I say I'm Ancient of Days, I'm talking about what time it is on this earth. Now, no wrong deed will ever go unnoticed or unjudged or not judged. You can have a child molested, and the child molester gets by with it. Courts turn him loose. God is the chief judge of the universe. There's not a single deed. Ain't got time to prove it to you. I'll show you a little. There's not a single deed on the planet that's ever happened, good and bad, that's not written down. Between me and you, God don't have to write it down, but it's written down in a book. That child molester will stand before God and will be judged over that deed. Nobody gets by with nothing. I don't care what the court system say, you don't get by with nothing. God, the Ancient of Days, judges all deeds. It's That's what he's talking about in the book of Daniel. Here comes the Ancient of Days. He's on this throne. Son of Man shows up. Trust me, something's beginning to happen because the Son of the Man's going to catch on a white horse and bring a... There's going to be a war. We know who wins. This is about good and evil. But there is nothing that passes the judgment of God. Now watch this one. The saved and the lost will not stand at the same judgment. Different judgments. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15, we have what we call the judgment seat of Christ. Your name is written in a book. Which one is it in? You know, I forgot to put my scripture there, I think. I'm supposed to have a scripture right there. What did I do? There it came. Wow. Thank you, Lord. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid. Which is who? Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by what? By fire. And the fire will test each one's work and what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on, endures, he will receive a what? A reward. Now this is the judgment seat of Christ is where believers are judged. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so through fire. So the judgment seat of Christ is the judgment we will be at if you're a believer. All of your works, good, bad, and ugly, has been put under the blood of Christ. So when it's judgment time, when the Ancient of Days says, okay, judgment time for this crowd, you get to go over in the side of the courtroom that some blood's been applied. But you're still going to be judged by your works. What you did for yourself and your own self-glory is going to be burned up, thrown away. But anything you really did for Christ, there's a reward. I don't know what the reward is, don't know why it's there, but evidently it's got some word for God wouldn't be doing it. So if any of us get a reward, don't somebody come and steal it. Don't go say, boy, you done good, you're the best, boy, you're talented, man, boy, the anointing is on you. Please. The anointed one is Jesus Christ. And I hope he's on all of us. Just don't categorize. When you use the terminology, well, you got the anointing. Really, don't use that terminology because you're puffing the person up. We can carry on conversation and not use that stuff. Come on, y'all, please. Can somebody hear me? We can do it. If they've got the anointing on them, they've got Christ on them, it's because they've been hanging out with Jesus, and I'm glad. But don't puff them up. It's your responsibility not to see that their reward's robbed. I don't know what we're going to do with them. They're just there. That's all I know. Now, the lost will be judged at the great white throne judgment. That's Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 12. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small, great, standing before God, and the books were open. Here's another set of books open. Daniel 7, remember, God and all these books. And another book was opened. Uh-oh, there's two sets of books, kind of like a truck driver. Two sets of books. God's got two sets of books. Aren't you glad? Two sets of book, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. You can go on and read the rest of that and see what happens to that judgment. But if your name has been written in the book of life, your name is written in a book, which one is it in? Do you remember it? I'm going to stop right there today. Have you gotten a little bit more on Daniel 7? Ancient of Days, right? The Son of Man. The movement and the power of the throne of God. And who is it here we're worshiping? I am not saying we don't encourage each other. Of course we encourage each other. I'm just saying, be careful and let's don't puff each other up because they could lose their reward. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house with you and your people. Lord, you know our deal. If there's anything that I've said that's not of you, I pray that it'll just fall to the ground. It'll mean nothing. But if anything that I said, oh God, is of you, I pray, oh God, that it be quickened to our hearts, that you might hasten, that it would hasten the revival spirit. We pray, oh God, for your Holy Spirit to be here. We invite the Son of Man to come in and invade this place. And, oh God, one day, if you could just sort of let us see the Ancient of Days and your throne and your glory and Shekinah glory hit this place, just blow the roof off, we'll put on another one in Jesus' name. Everybody wanted that too, said? Amen. 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 Thank you.